I'd like to turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read verses 13 through verse 15. Make it verse 12 through verse 15. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. In this second epistle, Peter again writes to the same ones he wrote to in 1 Peter, Jewish and Gentile churches of Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He's writing out of concern for them, and he makes an impassioned plea that they would grow in spiritual maturity, that they would be on guard against false teachers. He desired to, in this second letter, to refresh their memories. He mentions this in verse 12, to put you always in remembrance of these things. Verse 13, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And again in verse 15, have these things always in remembrance. And in chapter 3 in verse 1, he says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And in verse 2 of that chapter, that you may be mindful. So he's writing to refresh their memories concerning many things. Now, what he writes in this letter is precipitated by the fact that his time was short. We see that in verse 13. I am as long as I am in this tabernacle. We see it again in verse 14. Shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle. And then in verse 15, he speaks of his decease. And it is from to take the thought of the message. This morning we preached on the subject of death and spoke to the unsaved. Tonight we want to speak upon the subject of death and relate it to God's people. I want to speak on living life in the light of coming death. First of all, let's consider the shortness of life. Again, unless the return of Christ comes first, and it very well could, you and I that are saved are going to die. We're going to die. Apart from the return of Christ, our death is inevitable. Our death is inescapable. What we read time and time again throughout the Word of God concerning people will be true of each one of us. They died. We saw that this morning. That will one day be true of you and I. Apart from the return of Christ, there will be one day our obituary. And all through the Word of God, life is presented as something that is very short, something that is very, very brief. Consider how life is measured or counted in Scripture. In places like Genesis chapter 5, it's measured by hundreds of years. Those who are mentioned there lived hundreds of years. And in Psalm 90 and verse 10, it is brought down to 70. And in some cases, 80. There's some we're not far from that. And it is said, speaking of 70, that it is soon cut off. Life is soon cut off. In Job 14 and verse 5, it's counted by months. In Job 14 verse 1, it's counted by days. And he goes on to say, and these are but few. In Job 10 and verse 20, we read, are not my days few? And in Job 14 and verse 6, it's brought down to an hireling's day. That's less than a day. That's a workman's day. It's the work hours in a day. So it's brought down to even less than a day. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17, it's brought down to a moment. Our life is but a moment. In Psalm 39 and verse 5, the psalmist said, mine age is as nothing before thee. So you see, it began with hundreds of years, brought down to 70, in some cases 80. Then it's brought down to months, days. Then it's brought down to a work day. And then eventually it's brought down to a moment. And then we read it's as nothing. It's very, very brief. No matter how you measure age, whether you choose to measure it by years, and we usually measure age by years, but whether you measure it by years or months or days or moments, doesn't really matter. Life is short. Life is very, very brief. 1 Corinthians 7:29, Paul declared the time is short. It's short-lived. It's fleeting. It's passing every moment. This is true. Time is short. It's true in reference to the Lord's return. It's also true in reference to our own death, whichever comes first. Time is short. And it gets shorter with each passing moment. It gets shorter and shorter and shorter. The Bible presents life as very frail and is very brief. And that is illustrated and pictured throughout the Word of God. Verse we referred to this morning, 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. That's a very short distance between life and death. There is but a step. And you have no idea when that last step will be taken. In Job chapter 7 and verse 6, we read, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, which is very swift in motion. In a moment, it is thrown from one side of the web to the other. Just in a moment, just like that. And our life is even shorter than that, or more swift than that. In Job 7 and verse 7, my life is wind. It speaks of the frailty of life, but it also speaks of the shortness of life. Wind is there and it's gone. Psalm 78, verse 39, a wind that passeth away. Well, it's not a sustaining wind, it's a wind that passeth away. In Job 7 and verse 9, it's a cloud that is consumed and vanisheth away. All of these speak of life. In Job 8 verse 9, our days upon earth are as a shadow. And in Job 14 verse 2, he fleeth like a shadow. In Psalm 102 verse 11, again, my days are like a shadow. In Job 19 verse 25, my days are swifter than a post. That's a person in those days who would deliver messages. They would run or they would be on a horse. They're one moment and gone the next. He says, my days go quicker than a post. In Job 14 and verse 2, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. That speaks of how frail life is. But it also, again, speaks of the shortness of life. Psalm 39, verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, the width of a hand. Very brief. Isaiah 38 and verse 12, we hear Hezekiah say, mine age is departed, and removed from me as a shepherd's tent. This is that shepherd puts up his tent, takes it down. That's life. It's there 1 minute, the next minute it's gone. In Isaiah 40 and verse 6, all flesh is as grass, which again speaks of the frailty, but it also speaks of the shortness of life. The grass is mowed. 1 Peter 1 verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The beauty of man, the strength of man. Doesn't last long. You go from youth, if you live long enough, you go to middle age, which is probably your strongest point, and then you pass into old age, and the flower begins to fade. Doesn't take long from childhood to senior years. It's very, very brief. James 4, verse 14, for what is your life? It is a vapor. Appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. How many times you have heard people, and somebody suddenly dies, unexpectedly. And people, there's a sense of shock. And people say, I just can't believe it. I just saw them 10 minutes ago. That's life. That's how it happens. Many times. You have no guarantee. You may be sitting here and you may have many years left. But I promise you this, they will not appear to be many when you've lived them out. Once you've lived them out, it doesn't seem that long. And everybody who has years on them knows what I'm saying. God has given us the precious gift of life. And it is a precious gift. And God has already determined our lifespan on this earth. We may not be here tomorrow. And I know immediately people say, I've been hearing that all my life. Well, one day it's going to happen. Right. One day you're going to live your last today. That's a fact. Whatever your age, whatever your condition, everything is moving toward the end of earthly life. Everything's moving in that direction. Has been since we were born. Whether it be death or the return of Christ, life on this earth, for you and I, the saved, is going to end. For the child of God, the imminent reality of the end of life upon this earth, and the fact that you and I have but little time remained on this earth, should not be a discouragement, should not be a downer, for there is but a step between us and glory. There's nothing discouraging about that. There's no reason to get down about that. There is but a step between us and glory. Our very next step could find us in the uninterrupted and never-ending joy of heaven. Our very next step, we could be beholding the beauty of Jesus in all of His glory. Our very next step could be out of the trials and the sorrows and the storms and the troubles and the struggles and the battles of this life into perfect and complete victory. That's something to look forward to for the child of God. Our very next step, we could leave behind all the filthiness and the vileness and all the abomination and the blasphemy and the degradation of sin. So you see, for the child of God, the imminent reality of the end, whether it be by death or the return of Christ, the fact is you and I have but very little time remaining on this earth. And that ought to fill us with anticipation. It ought to fill us with excitement. For the child of God, the imminent reality of the end of life upon this earth, the fact that we have but little time remaining upon this earth, should have a great impact upon the way that we live the lives that God has been so gracious, so merciful in giving us. Which brings us to living life in the view that we do not have much time left. For most of us here, there was a time in our lives, there's been a time in our lives when God in His love and grace saved our soul. And ever since that day, He has left us here. He has left us here to live life for Him. He has left us here to grow in grace and to become more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But there is this inescapable reality. Our life upon this earth is moving toward its end. And in light of that reality, we need to pray as the psalmist in Psalm 39 and verse 4. O Lord, make me to know mine end. That is, Lord, help me to understand that my life has an end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. In Psalm 90, verse 12, he prays, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There's some wisdom in knowing that you do not have much time left. Chances are, if you know you do not have much time left, you're not going to spend that time in foolishness. There's wisdom in knowing that life is short. So he's praying that God would cause him to get hold of the fact that his life upon earth is coming to an end. That he doesn't have much time left. And the realization of such should change the way that we live life. Notice in Romans chapter 13, the truth is this, and it's true even amongst God's people. Even though we say, I know that one day I'm going to die. I know that life doesn't last forever on this earth, and it's very short on this earth. When it comes right down to it, most people don't really believe they're going to die. Most of us plan on being here tomorrow. We don't plan on dying, and sadly, many don't really think they will. They'll never tell you that, but that's how they live. Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing that the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, he's talking about the return of Christ. But again, either way, death or the return of Christ, life on this earth ends. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. That's true concerning the return of Christ. That's also true concerning our death. And notice this was to have an impact. Let us therefore, because of the shortness of life, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Notice over in 1 Peter chapter 4, in that same regard, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore, that is, this is to have an impact upon us. Whether it be the return of Christ or our death, the end is at hand. Be sober. That is, don't become intoxicated with the world. Think clearly. Be sober. Watch unto prayer. So we see the realization that life is short is to have an impact upon the way we live. In our text, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter was aware that he had but limited time on earth. He said in verse 13, as long as I am in this tabernacle, implying that there was coming a time where he would no longer be in this tabernacle. That time is coming. We will no longer live in this tabernacle. And in verse 14, he says, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle. Now, mathematically, just doing simple math, most of us sitting here have, this has nothing to do with our time on earth, but just considering it mathematically, we must shortly put off this tabernacle. We've already lived most of our lives. Most of us sitting here have lived the majority of our life. And it's just common sense. Shortly, we must put off this tabernacle. And you could be a young person, and that could be true as well. You don't know. But just simply doing mathematics, we know. Time is short. You and I have no idea how much time we have on this earth. But however much time it is, it's still true of you and I shortly. I must put off this tabernacle. And in 1 Peter 4, verses 2 through 4, Peter had written that the saved individual should live their lives differently than how they lived before. Salvation should make a difference in the way we live, but also it should make a difference that we have but short time. So in our text he says, I think it meet. In other words, it seems to be fitting, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. So realizing that we do not have much time left should have tremendous bearing upon our view of life. Most of us sitting here, we've already lived our childhood. We've lived through so-called middle age. And we don't view life the same way we did in our childhood. At least I hope you don't. And you don't even view it the same way you did when you were so-called middle age. You begin to view life differently than before. And as we realize that I must shortly put off this tabernacle, it just seems fitting that we have a different view of life. And realizing that we do not have much time left should have tremendous bearing upon what we see as a proper way to live. To live whatever life we have left. Life is too short for you and I, the people of God, to be caught up and moved along with the trivial. Life's too short for that. As you get older, you become more mature, hopefully, and you are able to recognize the trivial from that which is not so trivial. Our life is too short to be caught up in the traps of the world. We've all fallen into the traps of the world. We did so in our so-called middle age, perhaps. As you get older, you realize there's nothing there. There is a certain and correct judgment that needs to be formed concerning our remaining days. And Peter said, I think it's fitting, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. As long as I'm in this tabernacle and for the rest of my time, we ought to determine I'm going to live for the Lord. I don't know how much time I have left, but however much time it is, I'm going to live for the Lord and not for myself. I've already wasted too much time living for myself. So as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to live for the one who loves me and gave himself for me. I'm going to live for the one who saved my soul. I'm going to live for the one who brought me from the depths of spiritual death and defilement, from the depths of guilt and condemnation, from the depths of alienation and darkness and helplessness. For the rest of my days, it needs to be our determination, I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to live for the one who redeemed me and took me off the broad road that leads to destruction and cleansed me and forgave me and put me into the family of God. I'm going to live for Him as long as I'm in this tabernacle. For the rest of my time, I will follow Him. I will surrender to Him. I will obey Him. I've already spent too much time not following Him, not being surrendered to Him, and not obeying Him. So however much time I have left, this needs to be our determination. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, the rest of my time, not knowing how long that will be, He will be the priority. He will be the emphasis. He will be the focal point of my life. As long as I am in this tabernacle, for the rest of my time, not knowing again how long that will be. His throne, His power will be established in my heart, and I will live in the light of His ownership, and I will live in the light of His authority. I will live as a model of Christ's character and a magnifier of His glory. That needs to be, again, our determination for the rest of our lives. As long as I'm in this tabernacle and for the rest of my time, again, not knowing how long that will be, I will live with regard to Jesus Christ. I will live in behalf of Jesus Christ. And my life will be more defined and shaped by Jesus Christ and more in allegiance with Jesus Christ. He will be the direction. He will be the purpose of my life. He will be the habit of my life. I will live gratefully, humbly, joyfully, lovingly, with awe and without reservation for Him as long as I am in this tabernacle. That needs to be our determination. That needs to be our passion. Life is short. I'm not going to waste it. As long as I'm in this tabernacle and for the rest of my time, not knowing how long that will be, I will live in the blessings, in the enjoyment of the blessings of salvation. I will live enjoying His love. How many days we've already lived not enjoying the love of God? But as long as I'm in this tabernacle for the rest of my time, I will live enjoying His love. I will live enjoying His care, His grace, His mercy, His goodness, and who He is. I will live in the enjoyment of God. That needs to be our passion. As long as I'm in this tabernacle and for the rest of my time, I will live more determined, more conscientious, more zealous, more passionate for spiritual matters. All that we would live the rest of our time, that our lives would be more in tune and more in line with the spiritual than the temporal. That our object and our focus and our values and our loyalties be identified by the spiritual and not the temporal. I don't believe that people will have a regret. I don't believe they will regret living for the spiritual over the temporal. You will regret living for the temporal over the spiritual. But you will not regret the spiritual being your object and your focus. That our aspirations and our pursuits be for the spiritual rather than the temporal. That our lives be dominated by the spiritual rather than the temporal. Too much of my life has already been dominated by the temporal. So it needs to be our determination for the rest of my time. My life will be dominated by the spiritual. As long as I'm in this tabernacle and for the rest of my time, however long that will be, or whatever troubles I might have to go through, we need to determine I'll walk by faith. I'll walk with my eyes upon the Lord, trusting Him, leaning upon Him, believing Him. for the rest of my time. I will seek the Lord. I'll seek to glorify God in all things. Seek to love Him supremely, to trust Him completely, to obey Him wholeheartedly. Whether it be a time of trial or difficulty, or sorrow or affliction, or whether it be blessings and joy, for the rest of my time, this is how we're to live. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, it needs to be our determination that I will strive not to be brought into bondage to sin. I will strive not to be brought into bondage to the cares of this life, to the ways and the aims of the world. Oh, that we would determine that as long as I'm in this tabernacle, and for the rest of my time, I will not be swallowed up. I will not be sucked up or consumed or taken in and engulfed by the influence and ways of the ungodly. That needs to be our determination, knowing that time is short. People today, life is short, and their goal in life is getting high. That's how they want to spend their days. What a waste. What a terrible, terrible waste of the gift of life. How many today want to spend their hours sitting on their bed, playing with their phone, playing video games or whatever? What a waste. What a waste of life. But you look at most today and that's what they're doing. They're wasting the precious gift of life. And may I say, if you don't serve the Lord with your life, you are wasting your life. I don't care how, what good causes you might be involved in. If it's in place of God, you're wasting your life. As long as I'm in this tabernacle and for the rest of my life, I'll strive to remember what God has done for me. Every day we ought to think about what God has done in our life. And we ought to live with thanksgiving and with praise, and in a perpetual attitude of worship. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, and for the rest of my life, not knowing how long that will be, we ought to strive to be the best church member that we can possibly be. Strive to be an encourager, an example, and a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Strive to appreciate fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't have much time left. You need to live in the enjoyment of the brothers and sisters that God has put in our lives. In closing, we don't have much time left to serve God in this life. And that's true no matter how old you are. And yet, Many, with their overloaded schedules, and continue to overload their schedules, cut back. They cut back on their time to serve God. They cut back on giving time and energy and attention to spiritual things. This is the only time that you and I have to live on this earth. It's the only time you have in this life. It's fleeting. Use it for Him. Don't waste it. How sad to waste and squander a life. Don't waste life. Don't squander it. There's coming a day when you and I will come to the house of God for the last time on this earth. We need to take advantage of every time God gives us, because it might be the last. It might be the last time you see one another. You never know. You never know. We need to keep that always in mind. If people realized how short time was, they wouldn't hold grudges for as long as they do. I've got plenty of time. You don't know that. You have no guarantee of that. So may we take the attitude of Peter. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, the rest of my time, it's fitting. It's the proper thing to live for the Lord, for Him to be the priority of my life. You know, people today, I'm talking about saved people, church people, they act like it's a curse for a church to be aging. And I think people look at it wrong, in a wrong way. The older the people, the more excited they ought to be. I mean, they're almost home. And the more they realize, I don't have much time left. I'm not going to waste what little time I have left on a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of foolishness. An aging church ought to be the most spiritual of churches. Oh, but we want youth. There's so much life. Yeah, but what's the life about? Need to stop and ask yourselves that as well. Thank God that God has allowed us, most of us, to age in church. I can't think of any better way to age, any better place to age. I would much rather age in church than out there in the world, than in a bar. I'll age in church. God's been so merciful. God's been so good to us. We have but little time left. Let us use it wisely. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us for a song.